Let's turn together now to the gospel story that we were viewing and already thinking about, to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is a story that's told in slightly different ways in a couple of the different gospels, but tonight we consider Luke's account in Luke chapter 5. As I said, we're going to be thinking about Peter, but especially the call to discipleship over the next few weeks together. And of course, you know, there's a lot of interesting stories involving Peter and his following of Jesus, and the good, the bad, the ugly, right? All kinds of pieces in the spectrum that so much relates to our own following of Jesus. And so we'll be thinking about that really all the way, we're hoping, up to Good Friday, and even that evening, spending some time thinking about Jesus' interaction with Peter that night as well. So let's read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is the word of the Lord. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Really, maybe throughout this whole series, but especially tonight as we think about this story, Jesus' call of Peter and who Jesus is and what he's calling Peter, and as we saw James and John too, really just want to have in mind this call of discipleship. It's something that Jesus doesn't just call Peter to, or this distinct group of 12, or just those people in the first century. He calls all of us to follow him, to be his disciples. And here in this story, we're reminded of a couple things. First and foremost, of who we are being called to follow, of the character, of the nature of Jesus. And that's so important, isn't it? If we think about discipleship and following someone, it's so important to know, well, who am I following? Who am I giving my life to and taking direction from? We see so much of Jesus, even in this short story. And then secondly, and right along with that, what this entails. What does it mean if I'm going to be following Jesus? What sort of things is he going to expect of me? What's that going to look like? And I think we're already seeing some of that here right at the outset as Jesus is calling Peter to follow him as well. And so we'll have these things in mind. We'll kind of balance it out. Things that are revealed about Jesus, the one we're following, we'll highlight three things. And then things that are being revealed about what it is to follow Jesus, some discipleship reveals, as you might say. And we'll highlight three of those as well as we go through this text. So right away at the outset, we first see something about Jesus. It might seem like an afterthought, just the setting, but read verse 1 again. Right? Jesus standing there by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, as it's elsewhere called. The people were crowding around him, pressing around him, listening to the word of God. I just want to say at the outset, what we see about Jesus is this, that Jesus is synonymous. He's tied so intimately to God's word. Think about the opening of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Right? Jesus' teaching has that authority. The people are crowding around to hear God's Word, and that Word is Jesus and what he is bringing to them. And they already, even at the outset of Jesus' ministry, there is a sense of this. There is something special going on here, that we're truly hearing and seeing and experiencing the Word of God, God being revealed. But then right along with that, that Jesus Christ and all his power, being the very Word of God, comes to us. You notice in his ministry that Jesus doesn't just go to the synagogue and kind of expect people to come to him. He goes out, as it were, into the field, and he meets people where they're at. He comes to us. He goes to the shore there to teach these people. He goes to the tax collectors. He comes to us, right? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, as the Apostle John wrote. What a wonderful thing to know that Jesus seeks us out, to call us, as we saw with Peter there, to follow him. I think about that as Jesus says to his disciples that they didn't choose him, rather the other way around. Jesus chose them. And that was significant because in those days, people would kind of look around and they see the rabbis and they would hear and they say, okay, I'm going to follow this rabbi. They would make the choice. But no, Jesus comes to his disciples. He chooses them. He calls them. He comes to us. And that's what we all confess and believe. Jesus comes to us. He encounters us with who he is, the very Word of God, and calls us to receive him, put our faith in him, and to follow him. What an amazing one we are being called to follow, Jesus Christ. Then as the text moves on, we see a bit of a revelation here about what it is to follow Jesus. Right, Jesus gets into Peter's boat, pretty bold move, honestly, just hops into Peter's boat, it sounds like, and starts teaching and asks Peter to do some work for him there. Row the boat for me, move me around so I can teach from this makeshift pulpit. But it tells us something about discipleship. Jesus asks Peter for his help in his ministry. Peter, I need your boat. I need you to perhaps to steer and keep me steady as we have this time of teaching. But notice, too, that he uses the gifts and the abilities that Peter has, right? Peter is a fisherman. He has a boat at his disposal. He knows very well how to row and how to manage that boat. And Jesus calls on him to use those things to help Jesus in his ministry. And I reflected on that this week and just smiled again at the wisdom, but also the beauty and the grace of Jesus. Because he calls us and equips us to work alongside of him. Right? There's not one of us he doesn't call that he wouldn't utilize for his ministry work, for his kingdom work. He's asking all of us, really, in the amazing grace of God to say, come alongside me. I want to use your gifts and abilities as well to help build God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. And there are times when God might really surprise us and call us into something that we didn't see, that we had that gift or we had that resource. But most often, Jesus calls us connected to what he's given to us, with the resources and the gifts and the relationships that you have. Now, what are those in your life? What are those for me? What are the gifts that God has given to us? Maybe you've taken a spiritual gift survey. Maybe you've taken several over the years. If not, I would encourage you to do so. Be thinking with the Lord. We gave thanks to God for his gifts of the Spirit. What are those gifts that you've been given? If you're a follower of Jesus, you have them. Maybe you doubt that, but you have them. And God's given you them so that you could help him in his work. He could do it all his own. Of course, he didn't need Peter to help him. He doesn't need us, but he desires that we would use these gifts and these resources, these talents, right alongside of him. This is part of what it looks like to be his disciple. So what are those gifts that you have? What are those gifts maybe we have as a congregation here at Friendship? And how is God leading us to use them, to walk beside him, to help in this incredible kingdom mission that God has given to us? Well, as Jesus calls Peter into service, as he kind of dismisses the crowd there, he's going to ask something else of Peter. This is the next piece that's revealed about the calling of discipleship. He really asked Peter to exercise some faith in him. You could probably hear it in the words. You could see it on the screen as we watch that scene. Jesus asked Peter, yeah, go out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch. Now you have to remember the situation here. Who is the fisherman? Peter. Who is the carpenter, the landlubber? It's Jesus. You can imagine some of that human frustration bubbling up in Peter. I think I might have had it as well. Are you serious? You're going to tell me to go out? We've been doing this all night. You can hear him say it in the text. And now it's the morning. The fish aren't going to be biting. That was well known in this lake. And you're going to go out to the deep water. They're not going to be there. This would sound like foolishness to a fisherman. Jesus asked Peter to exercise some faith in him, to trust him, let down the nets. I love the moment in that scene, I'm sure you caught it too, when Jesus asks that of Peter, and Peter makes his comment, and Jesus just stares at him, right? Just kind of locks him down, doesn't say anything, just stares at him. And Peter says, okay. I don't know exactly what took place, of course, in that encounter, but I appreciated that moment, right? Jesus just saying, are you going to trust me? Are you going to put your faith in me? Are you going to follow me? And you think about your own following of Jesus, my following, our following of Jesus together as his people. It looks like an exercise of faith all the time, but there might be very particular moments, and maybe you could even recount them in your life, when you felt like Peter. Really, Jesus? This is what you want me to do? Jesus might just look at us in those moments and say, are you going to trust me? Are you going to step out in faith with me? Are you going to listen to what I am telling you to do? Right? The rubber meets the road so often in those moments. And again, we have to have our ears, our hearts open to what Jesus is saying. Right? Simon might have had good reason in Luke's gospel. He's already seen some of the power of Jesus. He's seen it in his own family, healing his mother-in-law. But credit to Peter, he exercises that faith here. He says, at your word, because you say so, I will do so. Even in the back of his mind, even though he's thinking this is not a good idea, and I'm really tired and I'm really frustrated, he trusts Jesus and he puts down those nets. Where is maybe Jesus calling you and I to put down the nets in our lives, right? To maybe let go of some of our frustration, to listen to him, to trust him, to take that next step forward in our faith and our discipleship in following Jesus. Well, of course, we see what happens. And Luke's gospel, the gospels in general, describe this so simply, don't they? I mean, we saw it more drawn out in the video there. But just that simple, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. We really need to pause and consider what's going on here, this incredible catch. And you could see the joy, the excitement going on at the beach as that was being described in the video that we just watched. But it reveals, again, something about Jesus. That Jesus has knowledge, he has power, unlike anyone else. And really the reminder here is that with Jesus, nothing is impossible. Everything is back on the table. This is the one we are being called to follow. You can think about this as a miracle of power, no doubt that Jesus made these fish come about right in those nets right at that time. Certainly has that element to it. You could think of this as a miracle of knowledge, that Jesus knew exactly where those fish were going to be and said, put your net down right there. Either way, this is a lot to take in, as we saw with Peter. To see someone with this kind of power, with this kind of knowledge at their disposal, we can hardly fathom that. And for us, as we are called to follow Jesus, it means that there's nothing that is impossible with him leading us. It's so easy to doubt. It's so easy to wonder. It's so easy to get caught up in the limitations we know every day as human beings and we see in the world. Everything seems to be described in that way. And Jesus, again, breaks all of those boundaries. Put down the nets. Let's see. I'll show you, Jesus said. We see that all the time. And I hope, again, you can recount in your lives. It might not be a miraculous catch of fish, but what are the ways, and are you sharing them, are you recounting them, that you've seen the power of Jesus at work? You can start with the fact that you're here tonight, that I'm here doing what I'm doing. Right? This is a miracle that any of us would be seeking the Lord in this way. It's only because he's made it possible through his grace, through the work of his Spirit. But you can go on from there. No doubt we could probably turn to each other and share some of these things. And maybe as you go from that, from this place tonight, maybe share a couple of those things with your loved ones, with family, with friends, the way we've seen the power of Jesus. We need to be reminded this is who we're following. Everything is possible. Everything's back on the table when Jesus is involved and when we're following him. Thirdly, I want to note another thing that this story reveals to us about Jesus. And maybe not something that's always brought to mind. A commentator who's now passed away, Ken Bailey, who spent a lot of years in the Middle East, kind of alerted me to this particular piece. But it's this, that in this miracle, we're reminded again that Jesus cares more about loving God and doing what his Father wills and loving the people around him than he does about material wealth. Think about this scene. And what someone humanly would do if they had this kind of knowledge, this kind of ability, this kind of power, just to summon fish into their net. How might we use that humanly? Well, maybe I'd help some out eventually, but I'm going to stash plenty away for myself in my bank account. But Jesus doesn't seem to care about that. And the fact that it probably doesn't come to your mind at all, even when you read this text, is a credit to the character of Jesus. He's not doing this to gather in, to make a living for himself, to make himself wealthy. No, he's emptied himself, as Paul writes in Philippians. He's given up even the heavenly glory, as it were, to come down to us, even all the way to the cross. Because this is his Father's will. This is what he's come to do. And he so loves the people that he's come to serve that he's calling them. He's providing for them. He's come to lift the burden off our backs. He's come to turn lives around, as we see all the time. It's an important reminder for me, too, that this is what Jesus is all about. So often in this world, we're disappointed by others we kind of look to as mentors or follow. I mean, humanly, we all have our stumblings. We all have our fallings and shortcomings. But not Jesus. Right? He's not going to let us down. Right? He is not giving in to the human brokenness and the mess that we talked about this morning. Not Jesus. Right? He rises above this. He's not concerned at all. He knows he has it all in his Father's realm in heaven. Right? He's come here to do his Father's will. He's come here to bring the Father's love to a people who need it, who are longing for it, to bring that life to us. As we follow Jesus, that's who we're following. That's the heart he seeks to bring out of me and out of you as well. One more piece as we think about this call to discipleship and what that looks like. We see Peter respond to Jesus and so humbly struck by what he sees. He knows he's in the presence of the Lord. You can notice in the text how at first he calls Jesus teacher or master in verse 5. And then that title of address changes in verse 8. Lord, he says. It's very clear that Luke's indicating here that Peter's realized whose presence he's in. As we think about following Jesus, it does involve our humbleness. Coming before Jesus in humility. Admitting that it's not us, Jesus. We're not the saviors. We're not the lords. It's you, Jesus. You're the life giver. You're the one who turns this around. You're the one who has gone to the cross to take upon yourself our sins. You're the one who's conquered sin and death, not us. And just to admit, as Isaiah saw long ago as he was in the presence of the Lord, we're not worthy to come before the Lord. And yet he would lift us up. Right? He would call us to follow him. He would call us to take on his spirit, right? To take on his character, and to be about his work in this world. And maybe for me, maybe for you this week, this day, we need to humbly fall before Jesus again. To say, Jesus, we've been trying to do it on our own. We've been trying to go in our own strength and our own power, but you're the Lord. You're the King. You're the Savior. Lord, we fall at your feet. We give ourselves into your hands. Because friends, no matter the story of your life, what's going on, Jesus is calling you. He's calling me as well. He calls us to follow him, to make his mission our mission. I love these words to Simon. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Simon. I know this is a lot. I know it's overwhelming, and it should be. Right? Jesus doesn't even correct Simon. You can note that as well. He doesn't correct him and say, no, Simon, you're not a sinful man. He is. But Jesus is here for this purpose, to forgive Simon's sins, to forgive yours, to forgive mine, to say, don't be afraid. Come follow me. We're going to go out fishing for people. We're going to go let other people know this good news that I have come to bring. That where there once was only despair and loss and death, there is now hope. There is now joy. There is now new life in Jesus Christ. There's purpose. There's mission. Jesus has that for every single one of us. And he's calling us to follow him together, to cast aside our nets, to cast aside those things that would hold us back, to cast ourselves at his feet. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you once more for the gift of your word. It's another reminder tonight that you are coming to us, speaking to us, calling us to follow you, to know you, to come after you. Father, we thank you that in your grace you do call us. You even invite us, Lord, to participate in the work that you're doing. It's incredible kingdom-bringing work. Father, we're humbled even at the thought. It's amazing that this is even possible, yet you have made it so through your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you for that. Jesus, as you're calling us today, we pray that you hear and see our hearts ready and willing to follow you, longing for the power and the presence of your Spirit to guide us, to empower us, to be about this mission, Lord, that you have given to us. Empower us this day, Lord, and into this week to do that very thing, Lord, to follow you and to be sharing this good news that has transformed our lives, that it may transform others as well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.